So normally we talk to John on a Tuesday at 9 o'clock about local politics, but just this morning John's in. It's international politics, except politics isn't enough of a word for what many are calling a genocide happening in Gaza at the moment.
Yeah, well, certainly Amnesty International is very much supporting the campaign to try and sort out the humanitarian problems that there are. So it's not just political organisations that are involved in it. It's the organisations which care about people suffering. So.
Yeah, they're calling it a humanitarian crisis. That's usually, I guess, are they?
Yeah, well, there was a report this morning saying that it's now raining heavily and that the sewage is overflowing in the streets and it's getting really cold because it's winter. And people have, well, at least three quarters of people have been displaced from their houses. So, you know, imagine living in a cold, wet, sewage-ridden area and not having much food because the food convoys have been largely stopped. So,
So the weather there, that bit is a bit, because you think of the Middle East and it's dry and deserty and hot, presumably, but not the case during winter. I guess it's a continental weather pattern, isn't it?
It's a Mediterranean climate, so and it's probably slightly further from the equator than we are. So during the winter, it will get slightly colder, well, quite a bit colder, because we've got the sea all around us, but
yeah,
they've only got the Mediterranean Sea, which is a fairly small influence. So,
and if they're getting a flow from the north, it could be quite cold.
Yes.
I imagine. That's usually what happens. Yeah.
It's not a good time of year to be out and to have so many people out and to have so little food and so little shelter. And generally it's a major problem. There's lots of people seeing it from a humanitarian point of view as well as the political arguments. And we've got this film coming up on Thursday night, which is why I'm talking to you now.
Yes.
So it's 7 o'clock at the old school on Stewart Street.
And it's called The Last Sky.
Yep. Hence the link with the sun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And basically it's looking, it starts off with a black screen and titles over it and tries to make the point about how dark things are getting. Because it's a fairly recently made film. Some of the films we've seen have been a few years old, but this one is just a few months old. And looking at the situation not only in Gaza but also in Lebanon, because the guy who made it is half Lebanese. He's an Australian solicitor, he's been visiting home or his father's home reasonably regularly, and he's just seen the situation rapidly deteriorating.
So the film's about 3 months old?
Something like that, yeah.
Is it officially a war with Lebanon now? I'm turning my head away.
The other news this morning is that they're talking about a peace process with Lebanon. As far as I understand it, it doesn't include Gaza, but they're talking about having a ceasefire for Lebanon. And the film makes the point that the Israelis have occupied Lebanon before, but they were losing so many troops there that they withdrew from it.
And there was predictions that that's exactly what would happen again, and maybe it has been.
Because again, they got a series of rockets fired from Lebanon again yesterday. So, although presumably they're killing far more than are being killed, they've still got quite a bit of resistance there. So,
it does. I haven't kept up with it enough, but it does feel like Israel wants to go to war with everyone around them, and it doesn't seem like a good policy for long-term survival of your nation.
Are you able to play that clip from the film? There's a clip in the film where there's a right-wing Israeli lady, and of course the government in Israel is much in the pocket of the right-wing.
When we say right-wing, I mean, what are we talking about here? It's not like, I mean, we call...
Well, if we hear
party,
what she's saying, you'll hear what I mean by right-wing.
I'm going to say, because we have a national party and we call them right-wing, but this is a different
yes.
kind of thing. So,
I'd rather have act than have what we hear on this.
Let's have a quick listen.
There will be no Arabs in the Gaza Strip. They will go to Turkey, to Scotland, to Britain. I don't want to kill them. I want them out of Gaza. And we'll use different methods One of them is not to give them any humanitarian aid, so the countries of the world will have pity on them and take them.
So who was that speaking?
It was just a member of one of the right-wing parties that the Prime Minister in Israel depends on for his majority, and also for keeping him out of court, because there's quite a number of corruption cases against him. So, and this is the sort of thing which has led the international court to decide that he needs to come before them to answer the charges of genocide, and so which has been brought by South Africa. So,
and there's certain countries, if he flew to now, he would be arrested, well, theoretically, on arrival.
Any of the countries who have signed up to support the International Court of Justice, yes.
Would theoretically
arrest him. Some of them are dithering over whether they do anything and don't seem keen to say yes, but my guess is he'd be taking quite a risk to go anywhere other than the USA.
And that's where the politics comes in, because Israel is allied with the US, and the US has an agreement with NATO, and all of the Western nations are all moving in the same direction generally on these things, and that's the politics that comes into it. So that's if you just tuned in, there was a little clip from the movie The Last Sky. They're very open about, in some ways, about what they're up to over there, aren't they?
Well, it surprises me that one of the things we don't hear much about is the chapter in Deuteronomy that talks about how the Jews ought to defend their promised land, because of course the whole idea of Israel is that it was the promised land given to them by God, and Deuteronomy says, in the cities of the nations the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, do not leave alive anything that breathes. Completely destroy them, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, as your Lord, your God, has commanded you. Otherwise, they will teach you to follow all the detestable things they do in worshipping their gods, and you will sin against the Lord, your God.
So I
can't help feeling that that's what's driving some of those right-wing true believers in.
Are they saying that? Is that kind of known that this is what Zionism is about?
Well, as I say, I'm surprised that that chapter in Deuteronomy isn't quoted more often.
By who, John, but in the Western media?
Yes, yeah. Well, in any media. I came across it because it puzzled me that what I knew from the Bible says, thou shalt not kill and thou shalt love thy neighbour and all that sort of stuff.
Well, but is that the New Testament? I'm not an expert at all.
Well, the Ten Commandments, the first one was thou shalt not kill. So that was from Moses, who's the same person who relayed this other, or supposedly relayed this other commandment, which is in Deuteronomy, and the Ten Commandments aren't in Deuteronomy, and I think there's some dispute over the writing of Deuteronomy, but presumably some people believe it.
We're going to get out of our area of expertise here, but is it generally accepted that many people, like these right-wing parties in Israel, are taking this kind of thing literally or seriously?
Well, it just seems to me that having listened to that clip and having read that chapter in Deuteronomy, it seems that the two fit well together. But as you say, I'm not an expert on this, and maybe one day you could talk to one of our fellow DJs, Sean, and I think he's studied this far more than either of us have done, so might be interesting to hear his point of view at some stage. But
all right, it's a heavy topic for the morning show.
Yeah. But anyway, the film doesn't mention it, but the film does mention lots of other examples of people who said the sort of thing that was in the clip we've just heard. And it also looks at the background to the history, because we often hear the Palestinians labelled as terrorists, which is probably a fairly accurate description, but it also looks at the three terrorist gangs that effectively created Israel back in 1948. So they were murdering the British soldiers who were trying to keep order at that time. So Britain decided it was going to withdraw from the Palestinian territory, which it had been administering since it won the war in 1918. That was when the real atrocities took place and when the refugee crisis was created, because they went into lots of... In fact, there's a map in the film which shows the villages all over Israel which were raided at that time, and people were driven... Well, they were killed there. Their houses were burnt. Armed militias came through their villages in much the same way that they're doing in many places at the moment, and that created the refugee crisis where they... People who had been living in Israel went to Gaza, they went to Lebanon, they went to Jordan, they went all around the Middle East. And that's been a festering sore for, the last 76 years or so.
So the refugees, also, was that the West Bank, or did were people just, they got to stay in the West Bank?
Well, initially the West Bank was, until 1967, the West Bank, was largely free from that. It was after the 1967 war that Israel took over both the West Bank and Gaza. Now there's the film goes into the extent to which they're settling the West Bank, and it also shows a headline which says, cashing in on genocide, Israeli firm pitches beachfront real estate in leveled Gaza, so suggesting that there's a firm which has been much involved in the development for the settlers in the occupied territories and wants to do much the same in Gaza and create a beachfront development there.
Well, I mean, it makes sense from the developer's point of view in that situation, so I can believe it. It's just it's the cherry on top of the disaster for the people who live in Gaza.
Yeah, so this film basically is trying to go through the issues, talk to many of the people who are involved. It's quite depressing when you hear them because you've got this extremism of on one side, but you've also got the people on the other side convinced that God is eventually going to be on their side and that they're going to win and that they're going to carry on fighting. So you've got both sides who want to carry on fighting for one reason or another.
Well, do the people in Gaza have a choice? They can lie down and wait for the bombs to hit them.
Well, that's largely what they're doing at the moment. And most of them aren't involved in the armed struggle, but most of them, from judging by the film, are probably sympathetic with what's going on, which isn't surprising given the history of it.
If one group's bombing you and another group's fighting that group, you're probably going to have sympathy for the group that's fighting the bombers.
In a way, it's quite depressing. But
okay, yeah. So
it's also interesting, an education, I think, to actually understand what the situation is.
Yeah, so what I would say to listeners is, in the mainstream Western media, the national media or big media, whatever you want to call it, they are part of the allied system, I guess, of the US and the UK and the Western nations, NATO, and we tend to get reporting that is more or less supportive, or reasonably supportive of that point of view, although what's happening in Gaza at the moment is so profoundly appalling that some of it is just bleeding, the reality of it is bleeding through to people and people are pretty shocked by it. But the reporting we get is kind of done to not offend too much Israel or the US, and we did have that situation. Was it Malcolm Evans, the cartoonist, who did a cartoon that was perceived as being anti-Israel, and so was called anti-Semitic, probably, and he lost his job at the Herald some years ago. So yep. Most journalists in New Zealand are wary, very wary of that happening to them. I would say that would be a logical outcome of that.
Well, the film also highlights it's almost impossible for independent reporters to get in there, so they're reliant on people who live there sending their reports through to them and doing their best to verify what they're saying.
Yeah, so you will. What I'm coming to is you will get a different picture than you get from our media, like the national media, and the American and UK media. So there, that's what the film's about. John, there's a boycott campaign going on as well around the world. So where's that at?
Well, it may actually have had some success because 3 days ago, the Israeli film Strauss sold out the half share that they had in Obella, Which is a food product that produces hummus and such like, and okay. Which there's been a campaign to get it out of our supermarkets. And it seems that one of the factors involved in that sale to PepsiCo was the campaign to boycott. So
you were saying to me off the air, Pepsi was a half owner of, what was the hummus company called?
Orbella.
Orbella was a half owner of Orbella, so now they've become the whole owner. Basically, that's a solution to ending the boycott.
Yeah, because it's no longer partly Israeli owned. So,
okay.
And they were saying the boycott had been especially effective in North America, but we've only fairly recently started on it in this country.
Well, now we can stop. Are they moving on to something else?
Well, I think we're still trying to work out what the implications are and whether there's still any Israeli connection there. But and we're certainly reassessing that, and it seems to be. On the face of it, probably a success and shows what can be achieved by boycotts.
Mm. So, yeah, I mean, normally in that situation, they'd move on to a different company. and so, wait and see, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Now, the other thing, there's another thing happening here, because John's part of the local group. What do you call it? What's the group called?
It's the Fine Arab Palestine Solidarity Group.
Yeah. Okay. And there's an exhibition coming up. Next
18th to 21st of December. Yeah,
right. But at the moment, there's a call out to artists and craftspeople to donate.
Yes. Yeah.
And how's that going?
Well, so far we've got 20 people, 20 local artists who've offered works.
Okay.
So the idea is to auction them. We're still working on the details of that, but to just fundraise to try and send money to. The humanitarian organisations operating in the Palestine area.
Mm. Okay. So if you're an artist or craftsperson, how can they get in touch? Is that the email? fangaroapalestinesolidarity@gmail.com.
Yep, that's it.
Is there a shorter email?
Is there
a Facebook? There's a Facebook group, isn't there?
Yeah, and I hope you're going to be covering it in some detail in a while, because one of our other DJs is involved in that as well. So.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, no, you guys are going to keep me on the job with that one, I have no doubt. Yeah. So we just got John in the studio talking about the film that's on Thursday night. What time is it at the old school, John?
At 7 o'clock on Thursday night.
7 o'clock Thursday night. And
it's Kohar to get in, but obviously the more people donate, the more we can pass on to this crisis situation.
So the money will go to the filmmaker or
to the
humanitarian group?
The filmmakers made the film available for free.
Oh, yeah.
We're having to pay for the old school as usual, but apart from that, the money will go to try and alleviate a tiny drop in the ocean of trying to alleviate the suffering.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, so that's I've already forgotten the time. Did you say 7?
Yes.
7 o'clock. Thursday night, Old School Arts Centre, Kohar entry. Give generously if you care about the issue. And you might have just picked up from what I said that John is part of a local Palestinian solidarity group.
Yep.
If people want to hook up with you guys, John, and offer some support, some action.
Again, use that email. There was also an article in the Last Chronicle. So if you look back to, I think, about page 3 or 4 of the Last Chronicle, you'll find some information there as well.
Okay.
And there'll be another article probably coming up in the Future Chronicle to talk about the art exhibit. So,
okay, yeah. So that's Fine Oral Palestine Solidarity.
And, of course, you can come along on Thursday evening, 7 o'clock.
At gmail.com or the Facebook group, what's it called?
Again, it's Palestine, Fine Oral Palestine Solidarity Group. So, yeah.
Okay.
So, right. Yeah, there's a few ways of coming across us. hopefully we'll raise some more money and also make people more aware and put political pressure on, because there's also a campaign or various campaigns around the world to try and isolate the Israeli ambassadors, because we've still got an Israeli embassy in Wellington, and there's a feeling that lots of Israeli intelligence works from that, and Israeli intelligence has been notorious in the past for kidnapping people and killing people in foreign countries. So, in many ways, it would be good to reduce that influence as well.
Where's their government at with this?
Well, the government saying it's still justified as being defending their country.
Yeah, when you leave your borders and go and kill people, it becomes debatable at the very least that you're actually defending your country.
Yeah, well, you can say the same about Russia and Ukraine. But yes, but the West is backing Ukraine, but it's not backing Palestine.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, ultimately, if you want to get involved in these debates, you've got to work quite hard, especially these days, to work out, to find out the truth. But
well, that's why the film's quite useful, because it does cover quite a lot of the history, including those three terrorist groups that originally set up Israel.
Okay. All right, John, thank you for coming in.
Okay, thank you.
7 o'clock Thursday night, folks, for the movie called The Last Sky.